It's time for Compassion Over Killing's Vegan Family Podcast with your hosts, Eric C. Lindstrom and Cheryl Leahy.
Welcome to this week's Vegan Family Podcast. This is a special two-part episode we're calling the Angel and Devil Episodes. First, we're going to talk about all things healthy and how to get the best nutrition to our family. And that may include members who are more or less inclined to eat kale and broccoli. And then next episode, we will get into indulgence and fun, vegan junk food, or should we call it treat yourself?
Yes, treat yourself. I'm a bad boy. Notorious junk food vegan. The toughest part for me is to not raise our kids on some of these foods while still allowing them to enjoy vegan ice cream now and again, or cheeses, or burgers, or et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a challenge. Are you on a whole foods plant-based diet, or are you eating whatever you want as long as it's vegan?
Yeah, well, when you're vegan for the animals, in air quotes, do air quotes work on podcasts, does that excuse you from eating foods that are actually good for you? We're excited about this healthy eating episode of the Vegan Family Podcast, brought to you by Compassion Over Killing and TryVeg.com, and we'll be right back.
Since 1995, Compassion Over Killing has served as an unwavering force, bringing about positive changes for animals. Please consider a tax-deductible donation today. Visit COK.net for more.
And we're back.
Yes.
So, how has it been since the last time that we recorded the podcast? Are you...
Things have been great. I mean, it's hectic, as you know. I think this is our first episode that we're recording together of the new year. So we had the break, as we call it in academics, here at near Cornell University. People take a full almost 2 weeks of the city closing down. So we had the kids for a while, no daycare, no school. So it's sort of survival mode, but it was fun. Obviously, these holidays are a lot about the kids, and they had a blast, and we got to spend time with family. So it was good. How about you?
Yeah, we did a big couple of different holiday trips and got to see a lot of family, stay up too late, eat a lot of junk. Yeah. You know, and it's funny, after having, you know, recorded several of these episodes, I'm thinking a little bit more about kind of paying attention to when the kids say things about... Yes. How they're thinking about food or being vegan, or it's funny to hear them talk to other people like, oh, like, you know, I don't want that because we're vegan and, you know, yep. For the animals. And it's really
yes.
cute.
Yes. Which is a good reminder for me to tell our listeners to please send us your audio clips. We want to insert them into these episodes. They're adorable. When we hear them, we've got a great lead in for them. So it's definitely a part of our, podcast that we want to continue to, include more and more clips of cute kids.
Yeah, I want to hear all different ways kids think about these topics. Like, yes. What do they think about animals?
Yep.
What do they think about being vegan? What is their sort of favorite food? I can't get enough of that kind of thing. I have actually one from my three-year-old where he just sort of spontaneously started moralizing about different kinds of animals and which animals were good and which animals were bad, which is pretty funny.
It's time for another cute kid quote.
Mine's so bad.
Why do you think so?
Because them wool and the people did run away.
Well, what makes that bad?
Because the ones want to eat.
Lions just like want to eat them?
Yeah.
Well, what else? What were you just saying? What else was bad?
Tigers. Tigers are bad.
Why are tigers bad?
Because them roar like lions.
Yeah.
Roar!
And what, what are your favorite animals?
Tigers and lions.
That's what I thought. How come you're saying they're bad?
Because I want to.
Do you like the bad ones?
Yeah.
Oh, I get that. And what else are your favorite?
Oh, T-Rex.
Why do you like T-Rex?
Me too. That's my favorite thing. That's my favorite dinosaurs.
Oh, it is?
Because they eat other dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Because they're meat eaters.
Yeah, what do you think? Are you a meat eater?
No.
How come?
Because we not have shorties.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I'm vegetarian.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're not eat fruit other animals than called plant eaters.
That's right. Well, fruit is a plant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a plant eater?
No.
You're not?
Yeah.
What do you eat?
Food.
What kind of food?
Plants.
Yeah, plants. Yeah, we're Mom, plant eaters. That's Mom, what vegan means, you know.
Mom, I like french fries.
And we eat vegan grains.
We eat vegan grains, too.
Mom,
grains is a type of plant.
Mom,
yeah.
I like french fries and hash browns and pizza and pizza. And this one I like with no soda. Dates and mango.
We got some feedback about, which I think as a topic that I think is really important to people, which is sort of the inspiration for doing this healthy eating episode. And it's a question about, you know, sort of how doctors perceive vegan pregnancy, vegan kids, and vegan diets generally. And I think, you know, there's maybe some perception or worry that doctors will not be supportive. But actually this feedback point, kind of seems to go the opposite direction. That's pretty consistent with my experience too.
Yeah. Well, we've been lucky, where we live. There are a number of vegans there, you know, it's a little bit more of sort of an eclectic lifestyle. And so all of our pediatricians so far have been familiar enough with a vegan plant-based diet to understand that, they don't have to recommend cow's milk at, you know, at weaning stages of life, and that kids can thrive on plant-based diets. So we consider ourselves very fortunate. Of course, there are a lot of other parents out there who, of course, I'm sure have been struggling both with this in terms of what do I do, as well as sort of digging their heels in to say, this is how I'm going to raise my kids, and I know that this is the optimal diet for their health.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of this is just sort of the adjustment that comes from both maybe being pregnant for the first time, and being vegan and trying to kind of reconcile that or quickly do sort of a crash course on the health vegan things if you're not, that's not why you were vegan in the first place, which is sort of my experience. Yeah. But this feedback that we got says, my doctor was pretty supportive of my vegan diet. Or at least this is a person who's pregnant for the first time. Or at least she was about to mention the foods that you should avoid, like cheese, seafoods, etc. But first asked if I had any dietary restrictions to begin with. And when I said no, but I'm vegan, she said something like, oh, well, then you don't have to worry about this then.
That's great. Yeah, exactly. You don't have to think about don't eat the cheeses and don't eat the fish while you're pregnant or, you know, after having given birth. It's that kind of understanding of exactly what is veganism, you know, what does a vegan diet look like? And what does a whole food plant-based diet look like? And that's kind of what this episode will touch on, is what are those differences between, you know, what we would consider more of a plant-based, whole foods, plant-based diet and a vegan diet.
And, you know, sort of being inclusive, like we come to this, I think both you and I come to this from a very pragmatic point of view, looking to, you know, include as many people as possible in being vegan as a way to help animals, as a way to, you know, actually reduce the suffering, reduce all these other negative consequences of animal agriculture. And it seems to me, as far as I understand it, that the rate at which people are coming to veganism, you know, thankfully is increasing, but you have about even numbers coming at it from the ethics, like for the animals and for health reasons. So it's interesting because it was having kids and then, you know, our family got much more into health even after the first one was born. That really opened my eyes up to this whole world of health vegans and really also got me kind of a little more schooled in what are the things that, you know, we should be thinking about. Yeah. And I think that, you know, is a sort of a big barrier. I think even when people think of themselves as pretty capable and, you know, sort of diligent about this, they can have that little voice in the back of their head wondering if they're doing it right, if they're going to cause some terrible, you know, health problem.
I know. Yeah. Well, while I'm in it for the animals now, it took me a while to get there. I actually went in it first for health. And a lot of my sort of background in the world of being vegan was doing work with T. Colin Campbell and his son, Tom Campbell, who's a plant-based doctor in New York, and Nelson Campbell, who was the producer of Plant Pure Nation, which was a movie that talked about the value and benefits of a whole food plant-based diet. Dr. Greger. I mean, there were so many individuals who I knew before making the connection that I kind of have it from both perspectives, you know, that I know and understand completely that you can raise very healthy kids. I've seen them. I know them on vegan diets. And meanwhile, there are still, you know, people who are sort of, as you say, maybe not aware of how healthy it is, or still hesitant to believe what, you know, some of the truth they've been taught growing up.
Yeah. I know you've been to a lot of these sort of events where, you know, you're around all of these people who are coming at it try to be as healthy as they possibly can be. And that's why they're doing, you know, the vegan thing and calling it the whole foods plant-based diet or variations on that. And so I think it's interesting because if you're not aware of that, if I think most mainstream culture isn't aware of, you know, the fact that exists, it almost feels like, you know, you're taking a risk with your health, but actually to be as healthy as you possibly can be, you know, this is the direction to go.
Yeah. So and from a practical perspective, what are you doing on your, you know, on a daily basis in your household? Are you thinking about, I mean, obviously you're thinking about what you're feeding your kids, but are you putting a lot of thought into making sure it's balanced? Are you, you know, helping them out with supplements and other sort of add-ons? What's the household look like for you for raising your kids vegan?
Yeah, so I got pretty on top of this early on with pregnancy, and then afterwards, the sort of whole family started getting more into it, and especially on my husband's side, because he was really interested in it for weight loss reasons and sort of disease prevention reasons. So we sort of had this steep learning curve where we learned a lot about it, and then now it feels very natural. Yeah. Now, on a day-to-day basis, we are actually pretty healthy. We do eat very... you know, a good percentage of what we eat is what I would call whole foods, plant-based. We definitely, as we'll see in the next episode, go indulge in some of the junk That's sometimes. Right. But there's just a few sort of principles that I kind of keep in mind. There are various authors, like you mentioned, Michael Greger. There's also Joel Fuhrman, Dr. Fuhrman. Mm-hmm. There's Dr. McDougall, who runs the True North Health Center, and various doctors out of that. And you've got a lot of chefs out there who are kind of trying to show you practically how to do this. Like Chef AJ and some of these other chefs that are really showing you really healthy ways to do it. But you know, they have different sort of authors on this have slightly different lists, not very different. I mean, it's pretty clear what's healthy. But I always think about eating greens, you know, whole grains, berries and other fruit, like just anything with like a lot of color, like, you know, not like candy, you know, but like actual fruit and vegetables. You know, mushrooms, we try to like eat a lot of mushrooms. I actually bought tons of mushrooms for like really cheap at H Mart, which is a Korean grocery chain, and made this like amazing, super like cheap and easy soup where I just threw like the like miso paste and water and seaweed and spinach and mushrooms in there, and everybody like really liked it.
It was a soup?
It was a soup, yeah. And I mean, that's like the kind of thing that, you know, it's like, okay, you're thinking about vegetables as the center of your meal. And actually, that was pretty hard for me to switch. Way back in the day when I switched from vegetarian to vegan, I actually went first by getting rid of cheese. And that was the hardest for me. And it wasn't because, oh, there was nothing to eat. It was because I had to shift my mindset around what is really food. So if you're trying if you're trying to make the healthy food the thing that is the center of your plate and the thing that actually, like, that is the food, that is your goal to get to, like, yeah, you might end up, you know, eating some junk here and there, but in terms of where you want to actually get most of your nutrition, most of your calories from, if that's your goal, is the fruits and vegetables and the grains, you can, you know, and then you can throw, like, you know, some nuts and seeds in there. That really is a big mental shift, and that's what's going to sort of guide you toward health. So basically, trying to hit different categories within, you know, fruits, vegetables, grains, nuts, seeds every day is good. But it's the overall shift to this is what food is, and this is what actually is going to be healthy for me. And then there's a couple other sort of things that I did. I took the algae based omegas, and I still give those to the kids. I took those when I was pregnant both times and nursing. And then I still give those to both kids. And, you know, my older one, like he eats the weirdest stuff. Like he doesn't, I mean, they do these baby videos where, you know, you give a kid a lemon and they just, like, you know, you're supposed to, like, watch how adorable they make these crazy faces. I have a video of him, like, 4 or 5 months old, like, trying a lemon. And he just, like, ate the lemon. He's just like, all right, great.
It's right. They're like little monkeys.
So he's just, like, happy with, like, anything, you know. Yeah. So he will actually take those algae, omega, you know, DHA. And we do the algae-based ones because that's the way to get vegan DHA. And it's long chain. My understanding is it's long chain omega-3, where if you get it from flax or walnuts, it's short chain and you can't absorb enough of it. So you should get the algae based. And then, so he'll just, like, pop those in his teeth and eat them, which I think tastes disgusting, but he seems totally fine with that. And then we do a vegan B12 and D gummy, which actually is really good. Yep, they like that one the best. Yep. And then we actually also throw in a multivitamin, which it's probably overkill. We probably don't really need to do it. And then when, you know, I think people get really stressed out about weaning and getting kids into, you know, the toddler phase because they just have underdeveloped taste buds. And like I said, I have this very strange older child in that respect, but my younger kid was more kind of similar to, you know, what you'd expect toddlers. Like, you know, he had things he would just kind of, like, turn his face away if he didn't want it. And so if I was ever worried about, oh, they were eating too much junk or they weren't getting what they needed, I would give them a smoothie we liked Vega or raw meal.
Yeah.
And that
I just did that this morning.
Yeah. And you know, it's like everybody likes smoothies and you can throw, there's some things that you can throw into smoothies that also are kind of good peace of mind things. Like we know that we can get iron from, you know, black beans and whatever, but, molasses, blackstrap molasses has iron too. So, you can throw stuff in a smoothie that's like, okay, well, you know, they're not going to eat like pumpkin seeds if, you know, we're just sitting around the house, but you can throw that in your smoothie. You can throw the turmeric in there. You can throw all these things if you really want to feel like, you know, you're hitting all the bases. But I think like I said, I think some of that might be overkill. As long as you're eating a lot of you know, grains and we eat a lot of potatoes and, you know, colorful fruits and vegetables, we're probably good.
Yeah, just this morning, actually, I made them, the two of them wanted a smoothie. And so to them, it's a vanilla shake because it consists of a frozen banana, a few cups of whatever plant-based milk du jour we have. This was a vanilla-based, you know, vanilla almond milk. A scoop of Bob's Red Mill protein powder, which is absolutely delicious, has flax in it and all these chias and all these other amazing things for them. And it also has that amazing flavor. A little tiny bit of vanilla extract. And then I had some organic Wayfair vanilla pudding in the refrigerator. These little single cup servings of vanilla and chocolate pudding, which are also, you know, also really good ingredients. They don't eat it all the time, but I thought, oh, I'll just stick that in there for a little extra texture and flavor and whatever else they can get from that snack. And they loved it. I mean, they actually wanted me to make a second Vitamix full of it. They just were slurping it down. And that's on their way out to school and daycare, having already eaten a healthy breakfast And that's, like you say, that's on top of everything else. And as you say, it becomes second nature. I'm not sitting there like writing down what I'm giving them, or I'm not like really concerned about, they're getting everything they need and they're super healthy. We have two friends here who raised four kids on a really, really whole foods, plant-based diet, macrobiotic, gluten-free and vegan. And they have a cookbook called The Great Life Cookbook, which is just incredible recipes that really make the vegetables and the whole grains explode with flavor. And as you say, there's no central focus of the plate in a sort of a macrobiotic diet anyway. It's the yin and the yang of what's happening on the plate, mm-hmm. with the vegetables, and that they're local and seasonal and all of these other, you know, qualities that are important. Lots of dulse, a lot of the seaweeds or the nori rolls. So on this plate alone, a single plate has everything you would ever need. And this book has recipes for simple soups. We make one of their soups a week. These meals are just, it's just a full plate of everything that's good for you. And so there's not a single person who leaves, you know, when they make a dinner for someone feeling hungry. You're full and you're a good full. And they've proven this by raising four incredibly strong and healthy kids on this diet who still today are plant-based and vegan. Nice. And so, you know, we can look at them as an example of not only is it possible to survive, but you can thrive. That, you know, the foods themselves are just simply good for you.
Yeah, you know, you raise an interesting point about the fullness. And I think having, you know, been vegan a long time and kind of now getting used to thinking more from the health point of view for the last number of years, you kind of forget, I think, some of the barriers or some of the mindsets that might prevent people from going more toward a healthy diet. And one of them, I think, is a concern that you're going to be hungry. And it's interesting because there is this whole sort of idea around dieting in this culture and kind of like, you know, this idea that it's about willpower and that it's about restricting and, you know, not eating, you know, until you're full and all of that. And I think, you know, a friend just asked me, oh, like, how much do you think the calories were in this? And, you know, this non-vegan friend. And I gave her like what I thought was an estimate. And she's like, oh, I just felt so full. I thought it was maybe like one of these, you know, calorie bomb things. And I was like, yeah, but that's the whole thing. Like if you're eating food as it sort of grew out of the ground, all the fiber and the water is in there. And it's, you know, there's all of these sort of very sensitive systems in your body that are actually perceiving how much food you're getting. You will feel full on things that are actually not particularly calorie dense. And that's exactly how we were evolved to eat, where when you're eating something that is, you know, really highly calorie dense and concentrated, you can end up eating a tiny amount of it, getting tons of calories, and then not feel full. So, you know, it's kind of a way to break out of that, you know, that trap really or that treadmill that people, you know, are always thinking about, like, oh, like I need to consciously worry about, like, you know, calories and macronutrients and all that. I don't worry about the macronutrients. I don't worry about, you know, the protein. If they're eating enough actual food, there's, you know, the percentage of calories that are going to be protein or going to be, you know, whatever, fat or carbs is good.
And again, some of that, you know, isn't necessarily a mindset as it is a sort of retraining of your body. If you're someone who's new to veganism or new to a plant-based diet, you may still, because I have, and I might still, if I were to be honest with myself, crave, you know, a huge bowl of pasta or crave these ridiculously ginormous plates that we've sort of become accustomed to with too much food on it. And meanwhile, a simple, balanced, plant-based, vegan, well-prepared meal is not only as filling, but it's much more satisfying. And you finish eating it and you feel better about yourself, you feel lighter, you feel healthier. And so I think that's, you know, if people are new to veganism and new to a plant-based diet, they'll get there. It may take a little while, and there may be a couple of setbacks of, you know, again, wanting to eat too much pasta or wanting to eat a lot of you know, sandwiches with seitan and vegan mayo on it, and all these things that just really feel like you're filling yourself up. And meanwhile, you're going to find yourself, your taste buds change, your nutritional needs change. You'll start enjoying simpler ingredients more. And that's where, Cheryl, that's where we are with our kids, because that's what we're feeding them. We're sort of starting them off right.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you said that about your taste buds change. I think one of the huge barriers to healthy eating, especially for kids and sort of parents' choices about their kids, but even just for adults, is this idea that like, oh, I don't like that. And oh, the kids aren't, they're not going to eat that. So I'm going to give them like whatever people give their kids, fried chicken nuggets or whatever. Really, you have the ability to change your taste preferences. You just have to start eating the things that you want to start liking. I think people don't get that. And so as parents, we have the ability to sort of control the environment that the kids are in. Now, that's going to be less so the older that they get and the more they're in other places. But, you know, you don't have to be like totally sort of fastidious about it. But I think from just a core, like this is their central structure and place to be. If this is a place that's full of fruits, vegetables, you know, brown rice, potatoes, like, you know, we actually use this, this like combination of this organic California brown rice and this forbidden rice, which is like kind of purple. It's so good. It's so good. But I think this idea that, oh, I could never get my kid to eat that causes this crazy escalation. So it's like, oh, well, you know, okay, they don't want to eat this today. Tomorrow I'm going to give them a version that, you know, is covered in butter or whatever, or I'm going to give them, you know, I'm going to cut the fruits and vegetables out and just start giving them, you know, whatever, spaghetti with butter. Is that like the stereotypical kids food? I'm so out of touch. Like, what's the stereotypical kids food? Like, they just eat like oil and salt and like carbs or whatever,
breaded and fried.
You know, processed white carbs. But I think try to stay out of that trap, I guess, is probably the best advice I could give for anybody who wants to have a healthier family. You just have to stick with keeping your environment healthy. And that means get the junk out if you want to stay healthy, and kind of start, you know, incorporating those healthier things into your diet. Because if you're going to be, you know, initially, maybe you're not really craving your, you know, kale salad with, you know, your whatever lemon juice dressing or whatever. But it's going to taste really good after, you know, that's the kind of thing you're eating for a few days.
Yes. Right. Well, let me give you a really good example of a recipe that people would be very skeptical about until they try it. And if they try it on their kids, again, kids being pretty finicky, I learned a long time ago that kids actually have more taste buds on their tongue than adults. So when they say something tastes weird, they're almost always right.
And that's also why they like sweet stuff. I'm not talking about, like, the sugar is just like, it's just like neon fussiness. Signs as soon as they have something sweet.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I'm not talking about fussiness, like there's a fussy eater. I get that. But as far as things that taste good, I challenge any parent listening to try the vegan cheese made out of, and I'm sure you've done this before, the potatoes and the carrots. With the lemon juice and the nutritional yeast and onion and garlic powder. Just these simple ingredients. There's a couple more ingredients. You could just do a search for carrot vegan cheese, and there's a bunch of recipes. And so you end up with this. Basically, it's a soup. Let's just call it a cheesy-looking, somewhat cheesy-flavored soup that you can dip tortilla chips into. Or you can put it over pasta if you
want veggies
to make
a
macaroni and cheese out of it. Or if you're making a sandwich, you know, like a veggie burger or something, just drizzle a little bit of this on there. So the perception alone is enough, because it's this yellow sort of thick and almost somewhat gooey kind of consistency, and it's delicious, right? And so that's the main thing, is that you're giving them something that is delicious and that they'll eat. And you don't have to tell them about the days when you used to eat, you know, real melted cheese from cow's milk, or you're not trying to compare it to something else. This is their baseline. This is where they're starting. And so those kinds of recipes are what I think we, in my household anyway, are striving to find and to aspire toward. Because then every day we're sitting down and we're making a butternut squash soup that the kids can't stop eating. And we're making this vegan cheese out of potatoes and carrots. And we're making, I make a pesto with kale.
Yeah.
Like Trader Joe's has one right now too. So you're talking about basil, and you're talking about kale, and you're talking about putting that in your Vitamix with maybe a little bit of of olive oil, some lemon juice, again, nutritional yeast, and you end up with this, what we call Hulk, you know, Hulk sauce, because it's green, and you pour that over some brown rice pasta, and they'll eat the heck out of it, and you've just fed them a ton of vegetables and really
good food. Yeah, I like that you kind of raised, like, oh, we're looking for these recipes that we're really going to like. I think that's a big thing in our family, at least, finding the recipes, making them, and then it's so funny, like my older one, who I said really, you know, he just likes all different kinds of food. I mean, he doesn't never say that he doesn't like something, but he eats a lot of different kind of food. Right. But he'll like, you know, really get involved in the cooking, and he likes to help pick it out. And then afterwards, you know, he'll be like, all right, we should put this one in the binder, which actually has turned out to be like I just put it in the cloud. It's not really a physical binder anymore, because there was just too much paper everywhere. But he, you know, he really likes that he is sort of involved. And then the younger one, who just isn't as excited about food, I get him to like clean, like spray the table down and wipe it down. He really likes that. But then afterwards we'll say, okay, should we make this again? Should we put it in the binder? And they're like, yeah, like, you know, and I even get like the cutest things that they say, like the old one will say like, great dinner, Mom. So we'll have,
it's a little note, yeah, in
so
the margin.
We know like what we kind of go back to and our sort of staples when we feel like cooking, plus we know what are our quick foods. And then the other thing that I was thinking, yeah, as we're talking about this and kind of getting kids more involved, farmers markets are amazing for that, even like, oh my gosh, 1 year, yeah, as long as they can like walk. I mean, I guess you could do it before that, but you know, there's millions of you know, farmers markets and different little things that they can try. Our local farmers market, one of them that we go to, you know, they have a fruit stand that at the end of the time, like toward the end of the time, everything's like half off. So we start like, nice, just throwing stuff into bags. And now we know like which fruits are, you know, are on which season. And when, you know, they know from last season, oh, like, yay, like kiwi berries are back. By the way, kiwi berries are like the best thing in the entire world.
Nice. Never, I don't know if,
yeah, because their season is like 1 second long. So if you see them in a store,
they're elusive.
Yeah, it's crazy. If you see them in a store, you have to grab them, take the whole shelf. You will not be sorry. They're amazing. The other thing like that is gooseberries, but I can get gooseberries occasionally at like one of those like permanent farm stand type places, even when they're off season.
Yeah.
But you know, if you see them around, we have Caracara oranges, you know, those are amazing. And their season is somewhat short. Cherries have a super short season. So there's things like that where like the kids, and it's not just fruit, it's vegetables too. You know, the kids like to pick that out. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to like my younger one, who's, you know, I don't say pickier one, but I know that's kind of judgy because he's actually growing out of it. He eats a lot of different things, but he loves purple cabbage. He's like obsessed with purple cabbage. Wow, and that's from great, like picking out of the farmer's market and taking it home. And, you know, yeah, so the more engagement they have in picking things out and understanding, you know, what they look like from the ground versus, you know, then cooking them, and sometimes even being able to take little plants home from the farmer's market. Like we have rosemary and basil plants and things like that, that they like to water, yeah, and everything, that really sort of engages them and gets them much more excited about vegetables.
Of course, up here in upstate New York, the farmers markets are only through, you know, October, and you know, the harvest comes and they have to close shop for the winter. But that doesn't stop the whole idea of going to the co-ops,
yeah,
going to our grocery store and walking through the produce section and talking about these fruits and vegetables that are coming from, you know, areas where they're still growing, of course, and to be able to any day, you know, like any day of the week, go into we have Wegmans here, and it's a rather large, really nice, mm-hmm, grocery store. And to walk through the produce section and show them star fruit, and to show them kiwis, and to show them,
yeah,
you know, all of these fruits and vegetables that are tasty, exotic, fun to cook or prepare with. You know, like, it's so great to engage them in that and to show them the variety of these foods. And this is what it is.
Yeah.
It's food. We're showing them real food. And then have them help you choose it and bag it and label it with the you know, on the scale and everything. So we do that a lot. We spend a lot of time in the produce section of our grocery store with our kids, you know, making them familiar with what's available. And as you said, finding which ones they really love, and then earmarking that or putting a pin in it to say this is an ingredient or this is fruit and vegetable that went really well, and then incorporating that into other
recipes. Are you guys as obsessed with dragon fruit and lychee as we are?
I am not. I don't even know. I haven't bought it in a store.
It's just from a kid's point of view. I totally get why it's just they just love it, because it's just a crazy looking hairy kind of lychee, at least. The dragon fruit being called dragon fruit is very cool. Has like the inside has this like black and white polka dot kind of look, which they just love.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'm, on that recommendation, I will. I'll go to my store and get some dragon fruit. So we want to hear from all of our listeners. veganfamily@tryveg.com is our email address. Send us ideas for upcoming episodes. Send us recipe ideas. Check out the recipes on tryveg.com. I think this has been a great episode. I hope people have learned a lot.
Yeah, and I'd actually really like to hear feedback about how people think about health. Like, what are the cost benefit analysis that they're going through? You know, are people worried about just the pragmatic aspects of, you know, trying to get healthy food on the table every day? Are you worried about overdoing it, making things too restrictive and too healthy, and, you know, having backlash from that? You know, how are we actually trying to apply these principles, you know, around health? And what are the barriers, and what are the sort of other things that come into play, and any kind of tips, you know, or yes. I would love to hear about, you know, how different families do it, and, you know, traditions and routines. I think, you know, this is a really, I think, interesting topic, and people come at it from all different perspectives, and I'd like to kind of hear from them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and this has been our healthy episode, and so I hope everyone feels empowered and light and fit and all of these things, because the next episode that we're going to record is not going to be quite as healthy, but it'll be fun, and that's part of the fun of being vegan, is trying all the new things. So anything to add, Cheryl, before we sign off on this healthy episode of
the No, I'm ready podcast? For the junk food for next episode. Let's bring it on.
Oh, no. You're tempted by it. Well, thanks for listening, everyone, and be sure to subscribe.
Thank you for tuning in to Compassion Over Killing's Vegan Family Podcast. Have episode ideas or questions about going vegan? Email us at govegan@tryveg.com.